She won her debut boxing match. She attempted to earn a black belt in Taekwondo in 90 days. And now, Michelle Kahari is a samurai. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party. I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And yeah, she's at it again, folks. YouTube's favorite daredevil, Michelle Kahari of Challenge Accepted. She's samurai now. She just won't stop. Now, if you're dropping into the show for the very first time, this is not the first time we've talked about Michelle here on the show. Actually, things started taking off here on Kung Fu Pizza Party right around when the 90-day black belt video came out on Challenge Accepted. But also, it's important that you know that here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And it's very important that I do that in today's episode because this video was shorter than 30 minutes, so it would be weird for me to talk longer than the video actually was. So in case you missed it, all of this year on Challenge Accepted, Michelle is seeking to recreate some of Tom Cruise's biggest stunts. She's a big Tom Cruise fan, and you know, back earlier this summer, we had the release of the latest installment in the Mission Impossible franchise, and so she's been recreating a bunch of his iconic stunts, all leading up to the, I guess, what is her favorite one, the whichever Mission Impossible it is when Tom Cruise is hanging on the side of the plane while it's taking off. She's going to recreate that one. Although The Last Samurai does not have any big Tom Cruise stunts in it, this is one of her favorite films, and again, it is Tom Cruise related, and so this whole journey into becoming a samurai is a reference to this particular film, and fun fact, also one of my favorite movies as well. Even though both I and Michelle clarified, I guess I am aware and Michelle clarified right off the bat that this is The Last Samurai, that is a great example of yet again when Americans go out of their way to just shove themselves into someone else's thing and make themselves the hero out of the back end of it, because that's, you know, definitely what happens here with The Last Samurai. The last one is a white cowboy. Sure. But that aside, it's a really good movie. Now, this edition of Challenge Accepted is very different from the last two times I've covered her channel here on the show. Basically, it comes down to time length, both of the video itself and also the duration given to the challenge in the video. So obviously the 90-day black belt challenge took 3 months, and I can't remember exactly, but I want to say from start to finish, from the first day she entered camp till the actual match itself, the final bell of the match itself, the boxing video was like a year and a half. And lengthwise, that 90-day black belt is produced to be basically a documentary film. It's like an hour and a half long. The boxing one was right around 45 minutes. This one, on the other hand, as Michelle attempts to become a samurai, is I think it was like less than 20 minutes, or like right around the 20-minute mark for the video itself. And the duration of time she gives herself to prepare for this challenge is 2 weeks, kind of. There's like a prelude of a month worth of training to go into the actual 2 week period of time that she's going to get ready to do this samurai challenge, but I'll talk more about that here in a second. But the another unique factor about this challenge compared to the other two times it's come up here on Kung Fu Pizza Party is the fact that there's like a A plot and a B plot. There's a main actual challenge that she is trying to fulfill, but also there's like this B plot that doesn't contribute to the actual challenge, and it's actually fairly simple, but it's something that makes it feel more samurai, if you will. So the actual challenge that Michelle is undertaking is she is going to do a bow and arrow, an archery ritual. So she goes to Japan to train at this school that has been training Shogun for 800 years. It's been this long process of turning out samurai for hundreds of years now. And she is going to attempt to, within 2 week period of time, do this archery ritual where she is going to ride a horse. She is going to shoot two arrows, one at, there's two targets, one for each target. Okay. And that sounds difficult enough as it is, but it gets worse. It gets more complicated than that itself. That is the actual main challenge that she is setting herself out to do. As she is training and talking to her instructor, it sounds like on average it takes people more like 3 months, like the black belt one, like 3 months in order to complete or in order to do this archery ritual. She's going to give herself, again, like a fraction of the amount of time. So that is the main actual challenge she is taking on for this video. Then there's this B plot, and this is the part that it was really fun. I'm glad they included this, but it's something that would make it very obviously samurai, and that is the fact she also is going to another school to learn Aikido. She's going to learn how to fight with a katana. So just like it's very samurai. Like that's, you know, when you think samurai, that's probably more so what you're thinking is the swordsmanship rather than the bow and arrow aspect. But we're going to talk more about that, obviously, because it's the actual challenge. I guess I'll just stay here on the B plot for a minute because, like I said, it actually doesn't really contribute towards the actual challenge itself. So this process was a lighthearted journey for her of training with, again, like someone who has been training in this swordsmanship and turning out students for decades now. And she like arrives at the studio, and the very first thing she has to do is spar the master and with like no prior swordsmanship training whatsoever. So it's a lot of fun. And basically the whole process for her with the katana part is kind of this like grounding her into the mindset of samurai. It's very similar to during the 90 Day Black Belt Challenge, where she talks about how with the boxing match, it was so much more like how she handles a lot of her challenges of she's just gonna sit and grind and make it happen and make it work. Whereas with earning her black belt and then these more attempting to earn her black belt and then these more samurai related practices, these are so much more not about just like grinding and forcing your way into it, but a lifestyle that goes beyond just like martial fighting skills, but also mentality, a way of being, a lifestyle, especially when it comes to this school that she is doing the actual challenge with, this archery challenge, because it's not so much like a we're training modern day samurai. Like, I'm sure that's like a thing that you can go spend a bazillion dollars as a tourist to do in Japan. But instead, it's like a school for chivalry. It's like a school to honor tradition. And we talked about tradition here on the show before in the weirdest of places when I reviewed Street Fighter Alpha Generations, where trying to wrestle with like this balance that many of martial arts have, this desire to uphold traditions, and the value of holding traditions, and why there is times where we may have traditions that are maybe more so systems of oppression, especially here in the United States. But oftentimes you see maybe in the martial arts, certain traditions are held both to protect the student, is kind of what I talked about in that Street Fighter movie review, but also like here with the samurai, just upholding tradition as a way to preserve culture as well. So much of what is going on upholds a traditional Japanese culture that is not the mainstream anymore. From the way that they dress to the way that they are, how Michelle has to carry out this archery challenge. Like, there's so much tradition wrapped up into it that I guess I could say from a Western standpoint or just from like a modernist standpoint, it's very easy to sit there and think there are so many easier ways to do this thing. But the actual challenge isn't so much like shooting the targets, as hard as it is to shoot targets while you are in motion, but it's upholding the tradition while doing it. And it also comes into play here with her training and Aido a little bit too, of, you know, I talked about this. I ripped this apart when I did the review of the 2024 remake of The Crow with the opera house steps or staircase scene when he's just like hacking people to pieces with a katana. Like, that's not how you're supposed to use this weapon. And you see that in Michelle's training with the katana, learning Aido, that it's so much more of it's an art. Like, it really brings the art into martial art of how these movements are done. It's still devastating. It's still a weapon, obviously, but even within like the movements within the style itself, there is tradition being upheld. The final part of her training with Aido, she has to chop into these like I don't think they're bamboo targets, but they're like, it's like a pole made of wood that you're supposed to like slice through. And, you know, when the master does it, it's just like smooth as butter, right? When Michelle goes to do it, she gets through it, but she kind of does like Bill Skarsgård and kind of hacks into it more, to the point where she like actually cuts into this beautiful floor that they have in this studio. And like the master and the student instructor like are just ribbing her for it, and like gonna have her sign this like hack mark into the wood floor now. But then she's able to do it and do it well and get it through several times of just like this flowing, sharp, crisp movement. And this comes up with the whole tradition, you know, and when you have a show talking about martial arts, tradition is going to come up. And I think this is one of those areas where maybe here in the West, we either like idolize it, maybe to steal a word from the anime community, either we become weebs about it or we like totally just ignore it, and it becomes like cultural appropriation, and it's just like we just want the combat part. We don't care about your traditions and your rituals and your religious aspects in this, even though in other, you know, Asian countries, a lot of these arts, it is so baked into what you are training that I just want the fighting element, I think is gross. You know, it's one of the reasons why I don't really keep up with MMA as much as I used to. I think there's a lot of reasons why not to follow the UFC and really even whoever it is who owns Bellator anymore. But just like the sport aspect of MMA is just not as interesting to me. we're just really just trying to take the individual like skills that actually work and just divorce it away from actual like martial art practice, that it just it's lost a lot of its shimmer for me, the world of professional MMA. Where was I? Oh yeah, Michelle. So getting back to Michelle now, that was the like the subplot, you know, just kind of this for fun. She's training in the forest with a katana. It looks cool. It's a lot of fun. It continues this like this understanding of the importance of tradition, upholding chivalry and culture. But then, of course, she has the actual challenge in front of her. So like I said, she's going to ride a horse. She has two arrows, and she has to hit two targets, one for each arrow. That's hard enough as it is. And actually, I alluded to earlier that she had like a month prep before going to Japan. That month-long prep was her learning how to ride a horse, which I found fascinating that she has had this channel for years now. And this was the first time riding a horse came up. I would have assumed that there would have been some horse-related, like she was going to enter the Kentucky Derby or, you know, be a cowboy and cowgirl and try to lasso things from a horse or something. I don't know. First time riding a horse has ever come up. So she had to go through, or she chose to do like a month long of learning how to ride a horse. But then so much of what she learned had to be dismissed for learning how to do this traditional practice in Japan, because not only were the saddles different between the East and West, she didn't get to wear shoes. She was wearing the traditional like samurai. It's kind of like stockings. She's basically walking around in socks the whole time rather than boots like she was wearing when she learned how to ride in here in the U.S. There was a few other those kinds of just differences between how to ride the horse based off of the culture and the tradition. But also there was this element of when she is going to shoot the targets, there is this yell that she is supposed to do. And it was funny. It kind of goes back to the whole 90 Day Black Belt thing when they were ribbing her about how early on, how she couldn't really Kia. That kind of comes back here of like they're giving her a hard time of like, no, you're really supposed to like put some gusto into this yell before you shoot the arrows. But not only that, so she's riding the horse in the samurai socks, samurai stockings. I'm sure there's an actual term for it. I apologize that I do not know what it is. She's riding like that. She has to stand up in the saddle, in the stirrups, and how she stands up even has a very specific cultural, traditional thing that she has to do. She can't just like pop up, pop down kind of thing. There's like this slow rise process that she is supposed to do and to hold it while she shoots the arrow. And even before she can get on the horse and do the actual ceremony, there's like a pre-ceremony where she has to shoot a target from so many yards away, just standing there in front of the master. And again, there's like this whole big, you know, how she's supposed to stand with the bow, how she's supposed to bring back the arrow, when she can look at the target is even a part of the process as well. She can't just like be standing there looking at the target the whole time. She cannot look at the target until the moment it is time to release the arrow. Like, and of course it's like an incredibly windy day when she has to do this, and she only has like, it was like 3 or 4 tries in order to do it as well. So yeah, it's, again, like I said earlier, when you're coming at this from a lens of why does tradition matter, it is so easy to hear all of that and think to yourself, wow, that is far too complicated for what she's trying to do. And I have a feeling I have forgotten some of these steps as well. I'm sure that there are other aspects of this that I completely forgot. I think even like the speed at which she was supposed to be riding the horse was very specific as well. Like it's, you know, instead of like a trot, it's supposed to be like a faster pace. I don't know all that stuff. I'm not a horse person. So again, just coming at this from a, maybe you could say like a pragmatic standpoint, like there are so many easier ways to do what she was trying to do, but that's not the point. Finishing, doing the thing, hitting the targets isn't even like the point. It is upholding the tradition that is the point. You have to be able to do both. Obviously, there's easier ways to hit a target. Try not riding a horse, for starters. Like, let's just remove the horse altogether, and it might be easier already. But there's just so much baked into this that if you're coming at it from a solely from a pragmatic pragmatic standpoint, obviously, Zen archery is not going to be for you at all. Just get a gun and ditch the horse. But that's not the point. The point is being able to uphold tradition with honor and respect, and doing that by being able to execute this skill. And there's other things that they that this school teaches. Tea ceremonies is another part of what they do there to is another thing that you can like learn. And I think she attends one. I don't think they teach her how to do it. I don't think so. At least that would have been another fitting just like subplot though, I think. In the end, unfortunately, after three attempts, Michelle is not able to complete this challenge. She was able to hit, I think on all three runs, she was able to hit one of the two targets. You have to hit both. And again, it's like this incredibly windy day. There's even a point where the target structure itself like blows over. That's how windy it is. So I would love for her to be able to get a second chance at this at some point when she's not trying to play Tom Cruise, but just especially like on a day that's not so windy, I just want her to like at least have that going for her, you know? Like she has so many other things that she had to take into account in her preparation that this incredibly windy day obviously was not going to be helpful. But just to kind of end this on a little bit of a high note, man, this episode flew by. We are already over 20 minutes. Okay, just to kind of end this on a little bit of a high note, because I've done three of these and twice now she has not completed her challenge by the end of the video. There is a follow-up in this video on the whole 90-day black belt challenge. So again, at the end of the 90 days, she was not able to do the brick break, which kept her from earning her black belt. And then it fast forwards to like a month and a half later, and she still was unable to do the brick break. Well, at one point during this samurai video, they show that another like month and a half went by, and she was finally able to do the brick break and earn her black belt in Taekwondo, which is still incredibly impressive because that's 6 months. That was 6 months to earn a black belt. That is genuinely impressive still, because again, I talked about in that video or in that episode that on average, especially with like Taekwondo, you're looking at like 3 to 5 years before you earn your first degree black belt, and she was able to do that in 6 months. I don't care how many times she had to do the brick break in order to get there. That's still very, very impressive. So congratulations to you, Michelle, on completing that part, and I hope you continue your Taekwondo training, and please keep giving us more martial art challenges. I don't know what the other one could be, other than I guess you could go do MMA next, or you could be like Sensei Seth and start training for sumo wrestling or something. I don't know what the next step would be, but if you have any suggestions, listeners, for what Michelle's next challenge should be, leave them in the comments on the video. There will be a link for that in the description of this episode, but we should go ahead and start wrapping this up. So thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review the show wherever you get it and pass it along to a friend. You can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd at Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. Check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, and the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries podcast network, including Systematic Geekology, Why I Don't Like, and my sister podcast, My Seminary Life, where I talk all things faith and religion. And we got a lot of cool things going on both in the Anazao world. There may be some new shows popping up here pretty soon, and some pretty exciting things going on this month here on Kung Fu Pizza Party. So stay tuned for more of that. But until then, this has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.